It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the study of Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. And so please open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there. I hope that you would enjoy them. The Sunday messages there, our Constitution, the plan of salvation. So please take a good look at it. I think you'll enjoy it. And if you'd like to email us, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either would be just fine. So glad that you've taken this opportunity to join us. And now we'll begin reading Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. And for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the Lord, the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That comes to the end of the book. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank and praise you that we can come together, enjoy this wonderful study. We'll move through a couple of verses as we do each and every time we have the opportunity to come together. Please just guide and lead us, dear Lord, through this precious word. Let us see your light. Father, the lost, let them see your wrath, because that's what they're going to have and going to come upon them if they do not accept that free gift of salvation that is offered to them. So, Father, please, today, touch every heart, that those that know you will grow and become servants and work hard and with great diligence to serve you and praise your name. And those, Father, that do not know you, that today would be the day of salvation for them, and their eyes will be open and they'll be awakened to your truth and your way and your will. And please, Lord, please just guide and lead them today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This study, as we looked last week and had quite a study, the great and terrible day, it is just so sad that anyone is going to have to face the judgment of the Lord. And no one needs to. No one has to face that. They can walk forwards, come today by faith to the Lord Jesus, and begin that wonderful day serving the Lord and walking with the Lord instead of facing the judgment of God. And yet people do not fear the Lord. And we begin that second verse, and that's where we ended last time. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. What wonderful words. Those that stand in awe of my name, the Lord is saying. There's healing. There's mercy. There's comfort. All the things that was the opposite when we look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They chose to reject the Word of God, to reject the need of salvation, to have no thought nor faith in the coming of the Messiah and the need of the Messiah. You see, it's one thing to know that He has come, and there's another thing for you to understand the need. There is a great need there, because you see, you're born a sinner. I was born a sinner, and I needed a Savior. I needed salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the only way. And so please, please come by faith to the Lord Jesus today. Let the Spirit of God touch your heart, show you, get past that mind of yours thinking that you're good and thinking you're all right. But let that Spirit get down to your heart, penetrate into that heart and show you your sinful condition. Show you the mess that you're really in, and judgment's coming and the wrath of God is going to come upon you. You need to trust by faith in the Lord Jesus. And you can avoid that. It will not come to those that have trusted by faith. And it's actually the opposite. There is mercy and comfort, healing in His wings, as the Scripture says. But only those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior have the ability to respect the Lord, to respect our God, to walk each day with Him, to serve Him and to praise Him. The only way that can come, or you can do that with your mind, but not with your heart. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You've got to call upon Him today. Be saved. Be born again. The Son of Righteousness. That tells us that we sure do have a great and the greatest security in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Got some verses of Scripture here that we're going to take a look at. Some of them are in the Old Testament, some of them are in the New. We're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 4. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you're there with me in Malachi, why, we know that the very next book is Matthew. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we come to John. And then John chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life. There's no other choice. There's so many religions out there, but there is only one true God. God the Father. And there's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Many people believe that, yes, I understand that, but I'm just going a little different way. There is no other way. And it's not my way. Please understand that. It's not my way. It's God's way. It's the Word of God. Don't change the Word of God to fit your own means. Don't let some religion that you belong to or some church you belong to change the Word of God. It's so simple. I was in a church not long after I was married, and the questions that I came up with after I had gotten saved threw a different direction. It was not by the church, and it's so sad to say, but it was from outside. They brought me the Word of God, the truth, and I read it, and I would read it, and I'd listen, and I had a cassette tape that played these verses of Scripture back in Isaiah 53 and John chapter 3, you must be born again, Romans chapter 10. We'd go through those verses of Scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you need to call upon Him from the heart, with the heart, not with the mind. And so when we look at these verses of Scripture here, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. That's exactly right. We're in darkness without the light. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 12. But what I found was that when I had gotten saved, when I trusted in the Lord Jesus, even though I'd been in church all my life, I'd never heard the gospel. When I heard the gospel, I asked him to come into my heart and save me. He did. And he has kept me all this time, and he will keep me forever. But when I would raise some questions in the church that we were in, of why do you believe this? Because the Word of God says this, but you believe this, which was totally contrary. And I'd ask the question, but when the statement, the answer would come from the leadership of the church, I know that's what it says, but it's not what it means. And also, that church, that religion, would say right in their book that gave you all their directions and all their studies, that if you're not very educated, do not read the Word of God. Oh, my friend, what a false, false statement. The Word of God is so simple that a child can read it and a child can understand it. Now, it can't be understood by the way that religion taught, because, you see, they changed it. And maybe that's where you're at. But come by faith today so that you can have that light. Now, on to John 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a glorious statement. What a wonderful statement. The light of life. Very similar to John chapter 1, verse 4. Let's go back to Psalms. Psalms 19, verses 4 through 6. Some wonderful verses of Scripture. We looked at the New Testament. Now we're going to look at the Old Testament. Psalms 19, verses 4 through 6. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming down of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. As we look at the scripture verses, the power and the strength, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now, in the Old Testament, if you go back into Exodus, you'll run into the tabernacle. It was the place where God met man and man met God. And if you've never studied it, it's a very valuable study. And it says, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. What sweet words to know the power and the strength that we have as our God comes to meet us. We can't just decide to come and meet him. He has to come. The Spirit of God has got to convict your heart. You can't just decide one day, okay, I'm going to be saved. It doesn't work that way. If the Spirit of God's dealing with your heart right now, please call upon him, because that call may end. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. When the Lord Jesus came to earth, and then when he left, the Comforter came, the Holy Spirit is present right now, and the Holy Spirit brings that light of Jesus to you. And that light shows you your wickedness. And that light also then brings you right on to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. So please come by faith to Jesus today and be born again. If you've listened to this program very long, I have no idea how many thousands of times that the call goes forth for you to be saved, to trust in the Lord Jesus. Christ's coming will be a glorious and welcome sunrising to all that fear his name. It will be that morning of the resurrection in which the upright shall have dominion. You see, Jesus came to earth. That's about 400 years away now in Malachi. He came to earth not to be king, but to seek and to save those that are lost. He came as a savior. He came to save you. Now, it's going to be a time when he's going to meet the church in the air, and he's going to take those that are saved, including me, if I have to face the grave. If I don't face the grave and he comes first, then I'm going to meet him in the air. What a glorious day that's going to be. But that's not his second coming. The second coming is when he comes and plants his feet upon this earth. The sad thing is that right now, Israel, the Jews, have missed the Savior. They're still looking for him. And if you're listening, he has come. He has come. Don't wait for his second coming. When he comes again, you're going to know it. And when the tribulation part, the church is raptured out, all those that are believers will be gone. And there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And at the close of that 7 years is when he's going to come and destroy all the wicked and plant his feet upon this earth. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But you don't have to wait. You don't have to go through that tribulation period. What you need to do is come by faith and know Jesus today. If you're a Jew or Gentile alike, it doesn't matter. You need to come. You need to come. Let's look at Psalms 49, verses 14 and 15. Psalms 49, you hear the pages turning, you know that I'm looking, and I hope that you have the opportunity to do it. And I hope you know your Bible well enough to find these precious scripture verses. Psalms 49, verses 14 and 15. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Oh, David knew that. I know that. Yes, I'll have to go into the grave, but there is going to be victory. And that victory will be over the grave, because you see, our Lord Jesus died and saved us and rose again, had victory over death and over the grave. What a glorious day. That glorious day of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when he comes, and we will come with him as believers if you know the Lord Jesus. If you don't, and you're still alive, and you've went through that tribulation period, you'll have a glory if you lived. If you lived, you'll have a glorious time serving with the Lord Jesus if you came by faith to him during that time. So you don't need to wait. You can come now. But that day for the wicked, they will burn as an oven will be bright to the righteous as in the morning. But that day, which to the wicked will burn as an oven, burn as an oven, will to the righteous be bright as the morning. What a wonderful day that will be. As the scripture tells us back in Malachi, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with the healing in his wings. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. The light of that healing will energize. Shall go forth, the scripture says. You will be empowered. The energy will be there. As our soul go forth out of their bodies at death, as the bodies go out of their graves at the resurrection, as one that's just saved grows in knowledge and wisdom, that's that go forth. Shall go forth. And the growth is fast. As calves of a stall, quick and strong and useful. That's what that's saying there. Why would you choose to go through verse 1? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Nothing. Nothing. You will die. You will. And if you think you're just going to burn up and that's going to be the end of it, and I'm sorry, that's a mistake. Because you are going to go to the place of torment and you will remain there. If he would take the church out today, if we would be raptured today, then it'd be 1,007 years. And at that time, you will be taken out of the place of torment and placed in the lake of fire for eternity, never having any relief, being pain, suffering, will be there always. Why don't you want to know the Son of Righteousness? Why don't you want to experience his healing? Why don't you want to feel and know his power and have his wisdom, as we've said? Let me just read those again, because it's kind of stages that will take place if the Lord tarries. As our soul goes forth out of their bodies at death. Because you see, if the body, if we die, if I face a physical death, my soul doesn't die. I go right into the presence of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, your soul doesn't die. It goes into the place of torment. But as mine goes forth into his presence, the Lord Jesus' presence, also when that rapture comes, the body will come out of that grave. That'll be a glorious bodily resurrection, and that's coming. Also, the one that is saved, if you get saved today, you can't imagine the knowledge and the growth and the wisdom that you're going to gain, because God will pour it out upon you. It is a joy to be a believer. And again, it closes then that second verse. How fast will this come? It'll be quick and strong and useful, just like the calves in a stall as he's born, and he grows so quickly and so strong and is very useful. And then we come to verse 3, and we're just going to get started with that, and we will be closing this book out next time we get together, so we have one more time. But look at verse 3 of chapter 4. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soul. The wicked, their soul will be in a place of torment. Understand this. But when it comes to this judgment, it's going to be real. We have the power and the strength. We will be and already are victorious over our enemies because Jesus has already died on the cross and rose again, and he's at the right hand of the Father right now. So it's done. It's not something that has to come. Yes, the fullness will come for me, but when it comes to God's heart, God's mind, it's done. It's finished. It's as if it is done. You shall tread down the wicked. There was a time when it was the other way around, and that time is right now. It seems like the wicked have victory. The wicked has success in business, success in finance, and it just seems like that the more you want to serve the Lord, the more battle you have and the more difficulty you have. But the victory's been won. So even though it seems like it's the other way around, we have already won. Trodden to dirt. Please understand the victory that's coming. Now, the lost are going to face that trial and tribulation, that terrible time. We are facing a trial and tribulation right now, but there is no comparison to what's coming for you if you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, as we do come towards the end here to that fourth verse, he says, remember ye the law of Moses. Well, that's all you have, because it's going to be 400 years of silence. And at the end of that 400 years, here comes the Messiah. The Messiah is born. And so you stand. You need to offer your offerings by faith. You need to stand for the coming Messiah. Understand he's coming. Remember the law of Moses. And that's more than just the Ten Commandments. When he went up on Mount Sinai, we received the plans of the tabernacle. And see, every time judgment is given, grace is there as well. And if you've never studied the tabernacle, you don't understand that. But the tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a picture of grace, the tabernacle. And so we have judgment, the law. The law cannot save. We cannot keep it. The law condemns. The law kills. So we must have salvation. And so God brought not only the law that condemns, shows us how wicked and how bad we are. Just look at that. And then realize that right there was grace. Right now is God's grace. Come by faith to Jesus and be born again. Please. We'll begin here next time, and that'll finish out this book. Please. What are you going to do? about Jesus.